Throughout the Bible, God promises many things to the people. God promises forgiveness, presence, and love. Because of its scope and length, the book of Isaiah, which is what our first reading is from, contains one of the clearest expressions of the gospel in all of the Old Testament. From the very beginning of the book, it is clear that the people have turned away from God and have failed in their responsibilities to love God and to love one another. Even though the people keep missing the mark and not following God's ways, God holds out hope and keeps offering forgiveness, compassion, and presence. Then our second reading is from the Gospel of Luke, and we hear again of God's promises to the people. In this passage, Zechariah sings that God will guide our feet into the way of peace. And we are told of a Savior who will bring light into the dark world. Luke uses the word peace more often than the other three Gospels combined. Indeed, God's peace is a message that frames the beginning, the middle, and the end of the Gospel of Luke. In the end, Zechariah's song is proclaiming what? It is proclaiming God's faithfulness, God's love, and God's peace. Hear now these holy words of Scripture.
From Isaiah, quiet down, far-flung ocean islands. Listen, sit down and rest, everyone. Recover your strength. Gather around me. You, Israel, are my servant. You're Jacob, my first choice, descendants of my good friend Abraham. I pulled you in from all over the world, called you in from every dark corner of the earth, telling you, you're my servant, serving on my side. I've picked you. I haven't dropped you. Don't panic. I'm with you. There's no need to fear, for I'm your God. I'll give you strength. I'll help you. I'll hold you steady, keep a firm grip on you. Do you feel like a lowly worm, Jacob? Don't be afraid. Feel like a fragile insect, Israel? I'll help you. I, God, want to reassure you. And from Luke. Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty servant for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors, and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in the darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Thanks be And God bless us and give us understanding of this passage.
As some of you may know, we gather weekly for a staff meeting, but then monthly we gather as a whole, larger staff. And to begin each of these staff meetings, someone does a devotion to center us, to ground us, to remind us to just breathe and be in the moment. Well, we had our December all-staff meeting this past week, and Angela blessed us by doing devotion for us. She comes about once a year to our all-staff meetings with this little dish of stones and then this cheat sheet, and she asks us all to take a stone without cheating, not without looking at the stone, and then to share about whatever that stone represents. Well, I got remembering. She then, after we all shared, read a passage from Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. After she was done reading, I quickly said to her in front of the whole staff, "I don't have a sermon on Sunday. Can I borrow this book?" But actually, this is my book, not Angela's, because it was 20 years ago that I graduated from high school. So yes, you can do the math and figure out that I'm 38. But it was 20 years ago that my brother, Keith, who's 12 years older than me, gave me as part of my graduation present this book. Happy graduation, my Katie. We love you. We think this book will help you find your way in life. Love always, Keith and his wife, Brooke. So I found this on my bookshelf. Sometimes the smallest gifts are the most meaningful. The author, Richard Carlson, explains, as you focus on becoming more peaceful with where you are, rather than focusing on where you would rather be, you begin to find peace right now in the present. Then as you move around, try new things and meet new people, you carry that sense of inner peace with you wherever you go. Don't we all long for that inner peace? Right? That deep inner peace, but our world, in its chaotic sadness and tragedy, sometimes makes it really hard to find peace. Our lives, with a new diagnosis or the ongoing struggle with depression and anxiety, or the loss of a loved one or the loss of a job, sometimes it's really hard to find that inner peace that we all long for. And sometimes it's hard because we want to know and feel God's presence and love, just like God promised all throughout the Bible. But sometimes we can't feel it. And so that inner peace is quite elusive. For me personally, I often connect most with God and feel most at peace when I see others showing peace and hope and love in their lives. As you might know, this month is World AIDS Day, where we recognize and celebrate and honor those who have died, who have had AIDS. So I read this amazing story about Ruth Coker Burks. It starts in 1984. She was a young 26-year-old and was at University Hospital in Arkansas. She had grown up in Arkansas. She was going because a friend got a cancer diagnosis and she wanted to go visit the friend. And when she was walking down the hallway, she noticed that one of the doors had a big red bag on it. And she thought, and then realized that it probably meant the person inside had AIDS. She remembers watching the nurses fighting over who would have to go in to that room. So she went in, and inside she found a bone-thin young man of 80 pounds who was begging to see his mom. She went back out to the nurse's desk and said, "Can I have that mother's number?" Somehow she convinced the nurses to give it to her, and she called the mom herself and said, "Your son really wants to see you. That sinful creature, he's dead to me," was her response. She was devastated. So she walked back into the room of the young man that she had just met, and she sat down. With his eyes closed, he said, "Mama, you finally came." And she said, "Yes, honey, I'm here." She knew, even though she wasn't a nurse, that the end was near. And so she stayed for 13 hours telling this gay man with AIDS that he was loved, that he was holy, that she would make sure that he was buried in her family cemetery right next to her daddy and her grandfather, and that they would watch over him. She stayed 13 hours till he took his last breath. You see, no funeral home within 70 miles would cremate his body, and she was the first person in 6 weeks that had touched him without a glove. But that funeral home did cremate him, was 80 miles away, and she got a little chipped cookie container from a friend who owned a pottery store. And she went to her family cemetery and dug the hole herself and said a prayer. She said a prayer because no preacher or priest would come. For 10 years, Ruth's ministry was taking care of those who everyone else wouldn't, including their family. For 10 years, she buried and loved and gave medicine to people that were marginalized and outcast. She buried 40 gay men in her family's cemetery. She held their hands and dried their tears and told them that God loved them. About 10 years after her ministry began, it was fading, but she was known during those 10 years as that wacky lady who will take care of anyone. And so she would get calls from rural hospitals in Arkansas to come and to help and to hold. But after about 10 years, medicine had changed, treatment had changed, acceptance within society had changed. And Ruth says that in that time, she met some of the nicest people who cared, who were the hospice for these dying people. Despite crosses being burned on her lawn and hate mail and calls, she persevered. But then after that 10 years, her work was fading. So just recently, a friend raised money for a memorial at her family cemetery. In 1984, it started with one man, but then they just kept coming and coming because they knew they would be remembered, they would be taken care of, they would be loved. Imagine the inner peace that this one woman gave to all those people by holding a hand, by reminding them that they are loved. Imagine the peace she brought to people. That stone that I picked at the staff retreat was remembering. Looks like this. So, you know, I'm a pastor, so maybe you would have thought that in my sharing I would have talked about Advent as a time of remembering God's promises to us, of remembering that God promises to forgive us and to be present and to love us. Maybe I would have shared how part of Advent is waiting, remembering, and looking forward because someone's coming who's going to turn our darkness into light. But no, I talked about my grandma. For those of you who know, my grandma has been living here in Central Connecticut for the past 7 years. She grew up in Long Island. That's where she raised her family. But for 7 years, my mom has been her main caretaker. Today, my grandma will move to be with an uncle in upstate New York, 4.5 hours away. It's a sad day. Can't even look at her. Because my grandma has been a person who has brought peace and love and faith to my life when I've needed it most. She may not remember that now, because some of her memories have faded, but she remembers that she has been a person for so many who has brought peace, who has brought faith, who has brought love. We will miss my grandma, we will visit my grandma, but I do work every weekend, as you know. But I'm not the only one with a grandma or someone else in my life who has brought peace and who has brought love and who has brought faith when we've needed it most. But this is the catch. We sometimes think about Advent as this time of waiting, right? We can just sit home. But no, Advent is a time of doing. Advent is a time when we say, hey, we're here. And we're gonna show up and we're gonna bring that peace and that love and that hope. Because guess what, friends? Maybe it isn't people with AIDS who are marginalized and pushed to the side, but there's people out there that are lost and forgotten. And our call in Advent is to be those people that show up. Not like those mamas who ignored their sons who were dying, but like Ruth, who showed up, who held a hand, who prayed, who was there to remind those men that they are loved. Those nurses, when Ruth came out and wanted the number, said to her, he's been here 2 months, nobody's coming. He's been here 2 months, nobody is coming. Well, I have news. We have to say to the world, no, someone's coming, and it's Jesus. But someone's also coming, and it's you and me. Because, friends, there's so much work to do. So be those people that love and that work and that bring peace. And as Angela ended her devotion, she shared these words. Every morning when I wake up, the author writes, I ask myself the question, who shall I send love to today? Instantly, a picture of someone will pop into my mind. A family member, a friend, someone I work with, a neighbor, someone from my past, even a stranger I have seen on the street. Once the person to which I'm directing the love is clear, I simply wish them a day with love. In some mystical way that I can't explain, those few seconds stick with me for many hours. If you give this little exercise a try, I think you'll find that your day is a little more peaceful. So I know you have houses to decorate and Christmas cards to write and presents to buy. I got it. But maybe this Advent season we focus a little bit more on being those people that bring peace and hope and love to all people so that no one is forgotten and no one is left out. Let's be those somebodies who show up today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen.